Hi, I'm Aoife Corey, and you're listening to the Her Sport Energia AIL Rugby Show, brought to you by Energia. Think of the possibilities.
Welcome back to the Her Sport Energia AIL Rugby Show, brought to you by Energia. Think of the possibilities. My name is Alana Canan, and today, as always, I'm joined by former Irish rugby international Hannah Tyrrell. How are you going on, Hannah?
Yeah, good. Good couple of weeks of rugby there now, so looking forward to getting into it.
Yeah, plenty of action since we last spoke, and of course a few shocks too. Can't wait to get into it all now. The biggest of which, I guess, was Blackrock's winning streak coming to an end.
Yeah, look, I suppose we spoke about on the last show how a couple of the top sides or the top four had really started well and got into some good form. And, you know, maybe I picked Blackrock to win and they let me down a little bit. But look, that's sport, I suppose. It's brilliant. The favourite doesn't always win and it shakes up the table a little bit. And in fairness to UL Bows, they were well deserved of that win, and Blackrock have some work to do.
They do, of course, and as we were talking about the winning streak coming to an end, I think that's 14 games they went unbeaten there, and Bows are taking over that trend now. So far they're 5 games, not quite as much, but a good start to the season, and probably a good mix up as well to see a few teams, I suppose, coming out of the woodwork like that.
Yeah, look, unfortunately for Blackrock, you know, all good things have to come to an end sometimes. They obviously still are current champions of the Energy AIL, winning last year, but you know, in fairness to UL Bows, Fee Hayes has done a really good job taking over from this season. And in fairness to her, she has a good disposal of players, a good lot of players at her disposal. And they've been well worth it. They've some really good young players coming through, and they're the ones to be caught now. And that can be tough, you know, having that on you. It's like a marker on your back. You're no longer the underdog. Sometimes when you're maybe not the top team, you can sneak in some performances and kind of get away with things and nobody's really keeping an eye on you too much. But now that they're top of the table and everybody's chasing them, and they'll have to continue putting in some good performances, they want to stay there.
For sure, and we'll touch on that again now in a bit. Obviously, that might have something to do with the international duty. Speaking of which, Ireland won the XV3 series, beating Kazakhstan, Colombia and Spain. What do we think of this? Obviously, it was against a different quality opposition, but a good start to Scott Beamon's trajectory nonetheless.
Yeah, look, obviously we spoke about it at the end of last year how we were quite disappointed that Ireland were going to be in WXV3. Particularly, we wanted them obviously pushing the other way and trying to really promote the women's game and get some good quality opposition under their belt, and we knew that in WXV3 that wasn't going to happen. However, when you look at it from a different perspective, you've a new coach coming in, you've a lot of young players that were blooded in this tournament in Dubai, and to get 3 wins out of 3, I suppose, sets a little bit of momentum for this team, who, you know, in the Six Nations didn't really go well, and a lot of these players wouldn't have had any victories and understanding what that performance was about. So while the quality of opposition was poor, particularly the first 2 games, it was a really good opportunity for these players to gain a little bit of confidence, play some attacking rugby and kind of play on the front foot a little bit and play a little bit of free flowing rugby. And I think it was good. It was good that we beat Colombia and Kazakhstan by so much. It shows that we're not at this standard and that we deserve to be in WXV2. The Spain game had a little bit of a wobble, but I think it showed really good perseverance and resilience and grit to get over the line after being behind. That performance probably is the one to look at the most in terms of Spain were a little bit higher quality, still not at the level we'd like to be at, but they gave us a good run. Their defence was good and we had to work really hard for it, and some big players stepped up, and it's a good start. The biggest thing that comes out of that with Ireland winning it, obviously it's nice, it's always nice to win things, always nice to get a load of young players to get a feel for winning, because that kind of creates an appetite to win even more, and they'll go into the Six Nations hoping they can do more. But the best thing to come out of this that with Ireland winning is that it's opened up another spot in WXV2 for a European team. Ireland aren't guaranteed that spot, but it just means there will be one extra European team playing in WXV2 next year. And if Ireland can continue to play the way they have and improve on that, they can grab one of those spots. And it's a really important year next year, obviously, with it being World Cup qualification.
And Scott Beamon has already spoken about how that's obviously the overarching goal. But as you talked about the younger players and the new people that featured, who do you think impressed you the most?
Probably not some younger players. I think the additions of Bavin Parsons and Eve Higgins into this squad really helped with this team, particularly in the back line, to gel a little bit. We probably stuttered at times in the Six Nations. We had a lot of youth and inexperience in the last Six Nations, and those two coming in haven't played there before, haven't played obviously at the highest level with Sevens, really helped gel things along. And the likes of Aoife Dalton, I thought, had a really good tournament. But for me, it was great to see a lot of new young players capped. So we saw obviously Sive McGrath got capped in the Six Nations, but she got more game time. Eimear Carey got her first cap over there, and she was the one who actually got the crucial line-out steal for Ireland to win that Spain game. Fiona Tuke came off the bench a couple of times, who's been around the Irish team for a while, I must say. Like, when I was back in the Sevens team a couple of years ago, she was brought in initially, but unfortunately injuries for her derailed things a little bit. But she never stopped trying, changed positions a couple of times. She used to be a winger, is now a back row, I think second row maybe. So great for her. But also for me, the front row is an area where we need to kind of tighten up and get some younger players coming through. So I mentioned Simon Grabba, Sarah Delaney came on at hooker. I think that's huge for us, particularly with Derv Nicovard being out. I know we have Niamh Jones there, who's excellent, and a few other players, but we could do with some young, fresh talent. She looks really exciting. So great to see that. Look, a load of girls played well. I thought that the decision to make Sam Monaghan and Adele McMahon captains was a great one. Tricky's been out for a while injured, and great to have her back. She's a brilliant seven, and we know what Sam can do in the second row. So I just think we had a really good mix of some experienced players with the likes of Bavin and Eve back in the centre partnerships or in the back line, and then the likes of Sam and Tricky guiding some of those young players through. It worked really well, and I think Scott, in the limited time that he had, did a really good job.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see where they go now from here. Obviously, as well, there was the news this morning that David Nusafora is going to depart his role at the end of this year, and he's going to be replaced by David Humphreys. How do you kind of reflect on his tenure, and what do you think Humphreys will bring now?
Hey, yeah, look, obviously it's a tricky one. David Nusafora came in around the time that I came into Sevens, and he did some really good things with Irish rugby, particularly on the men's side, obviously very, very successful. When you look at the women's side, probably feels like maybe not a success story, in that it feels like we've only gone backwards, and hopefully things are changing. From a Sevens perspective, which was the main focus for Nusafora, I actually think he did a good job. If you look at us now, when I came in, the Sevens programme was in a very different position, struggling to retain core status on the series, to now being one of the top teams on the series, and we've qualified for the Olympics, and we've blooded some unbelievable, and we genuinely have world-class players on our team now. Not all of that is down to him, but he absolutely helped facilitate it. When you look at the women's 15s game, unfortunately, I think that has been decimated a little bit because of that. However, we have, it's not all doom and gloom. There has been structures put in place. I just wish, you know, during his decade-long tenure, that it had started a few years younger. So if you look at Sarah Delaney that we mentioned, she was the first player to play a senior women's international, but also play under-20s and under-18 Six Nations. So they're the pathways that have been put in place the last couple of years, and Nusafora obviously had a hand in that, but we should have done that 7 or 8, 9 years ago, as opposed to only 3 or 4 years ago. So there are some good and bad things. I'm hoping that David Humphreys comes in and realises where the women's game's at, and the support that it needs, and the funding that it needs to push us on, because the gap is widening in the top tiers. And while our aim obviously is WXV2 next year, we eventually want to get to WXV1, qualify for a World Cup again, and get us moving in the right direction. It will take time, and he has a tricky job in his hands, you know, because the numbers of females participating in rugby, unfortunately, the last couple of years have actually dropped off. So we want to change that and revert that back around. But I'm hopeful he can do a good job, David Humphreys, when he comes in, and we'll see what happens.
And obviously the energy at AIL can play a big part in that pathway. It'll be great for if we got more and more investment into it year on year, and see where we can go from there.
Yeah, look, obviously the last couple of years we've mentioned the energy AIL league has changed in terms of its format the last couple of years, and it's probably had no proper stability in terms of how it's going to run, and that annoys a lot of people, and it can be quite frustrating if you're a player and a supporter and you've no idea how the league is going to pan out, how long it's going to be for, etc. So obviously club rugby is the heart of the game, and they're what produces our internationals eventually, so you need to get that into a good standard, and they've been working on that the last couple of years. And the aim for me would, a positive way forward, and this would be to not have such a massive gap between, say, the top four and the bottom four clubs that we have in the AAL. So there are some changes coming about that down the line, but it'll be interesting to see how David Humphreys gets on.
All takes a bit of time, but while all that was going on, obviously the Men's World Cup was on as well. I'm not sure if you saw this, but definitely something interesting to get your take on it. Obviously, there was chat around how this was a history-making win for South Africa, and it sure was in the men's side of things, but obviously the Black Ferns had done it on the women's side of things before. What do you reckon to this, the language around men's and women's sport, and kind of how important it is to stipulate the difference between the two in that kind of regard? Like, there is history on both sides of the game that way.
Yeah, look, I think it's really important to recognise whether it is male or female participation in that, because I think recently World Rugby announced that they would be reverting back to saying that it would be the Men's World Cup and the Women's World Cup, whereas in the last couple of years they actually had dropped the pronouns from that, or the gendered terms from that. I think it's right in that. What I love about what Nike did there was, yes, they got it wrong. They mentioned that South Africa were the first team to win it four times, when actually the Black Ferns have won it six times. But in fairness to them, when they were called out, they changed it. And the logo you saw there, or the picture you saw there, that's the reverted image where they actually ended up changing it, which is such a nice thing to see, that they're happy to hold up their hands and go, look, we made a mistake and we've changed it and we understand that. And I think we need more people calling them out on that, and we need more male allies in that. And one guy who I love, Brian Habana, obviously former Springbok, he was asked at the start of the World Cup. So he is currently the joint leading try scorer in the men's World Cup history. And he was asked a question, who is the joint leading, or who is the leading try scorer in the men's World Cup in history? And they wanted him to say him. And Jonah Lomu, who's at the top as well. And he actually said, to their surprise, and they were so surprised, they said, he went, it's Portia Woodman. She's 20 tries. I only have 15. So it's Portia Woodman. She has the most World Cup tries in history. And they were taken aback. They weren't expecting that. They wanted him to say him. And I just think it's so simple. Mm. That's such a simple thing. He didn't have to do much. He understood that she scored more tries than me. So she's the history maker here. And, it's just so easily done, and it's important to recognise that the women's game has gone on, and that we have some trailblazers, and they are separate entities. The game is the same, but those playing it are very different. They play under very different standards, I suppose, that people hold them to. And the support for both should be the same, but I think it is important to recognise that when women have achieved something first, to give them the credit where it's due.
For sure. Well, we have plenty of those trailblazers in the energy at AIL. We had three game weeks since we last spoke, but we'll have a look back over the most recent round of fixtures. As you can see here, UL Bows overcoming Black Rock, Setonians beating Cook, Galwegians against Old Belvedere, Old Belvedere coming out on top on that one, and then Railway coming out the winners over Ballincollig. Plenty to talk about there, but we touched on it at the top of the show. The Black Rock UL Bows game has to be the highlight out of that, I think.
Yeah, look, as we said, probably the surprise result, and sorry Fee Hayes if you're listening there now, but fair play to them. You know, we mentioned it before, obviously WXV3 in Ireland playing at this time has taken a lot of players away from a couple of clubs, and one club that has been affected massively is Blackrock. And you can see it there in some of the players that they obviously had missing. They still have stalwarts like Hannah O'Connor, you know, driving it through. But when you are missing players like Maeve Dealey, and who can do damage here, and who are your, main kickers and stuff like that, it does have an effect on your team. They're missing Christy Haney as well, who shores up their scrum for them. And when those players come back in, you will obviously see a massive improvement for Black Rock. However, that is not to take away from UL Bows and what Fee Hayes has done there. She obviously is on the other side and is lucky enough to have kept a core squad that, are not away in international duty, and she has reaped the rewards of that. And also, was lucky enough to have some really promising young players in her squad. We mentioned before about Kay Flannery, top point scorer in the AAL, but she, another product of that under-20s Irish squad that we had most recently. But like, they're fantastic players, and they're pulling them all together and seem to be working really, really well and enjoying their rugby. And, 29-10 is a fairly comprehensive win. It's not scraping over the line against the champions, so a nice big scalp for them.
Definitely. You touched on Kay Flannery there. She's the top point scorer with 49. Uguiru has 45 just behind her, 1 and 2 respectively. Like, just how unbelievable is that, that, you know, they are impressing and they're so young as well.
Yeah, two of them, I think, both just 20 years of age. You know, Chisholm Aguero, we mentioned her a couple of weeks ago. I think she scored a couple of weeks ago as well. But what I remember kind of her bursting off the scene was last year in the AL Energy Cup final. She actually scored the winning try for Railway out in St Mary's. I remember watching her flying down the wing, and she has a background in athletics. She's very, very fast. I think she did a bit of triple jump as well, so she's pretty decent leap on her too. But look, there's fantastic players at their disposal, like, and I hope that they continue their rise and continue to do well. And you never know, Scott is always watching, so I'm sure he'll be keeping an eye on those too. But I can definitely see, particularly Kay Flannery, her brother Jake played underage for Ireland. He's up with Ulster now at the minute, and they have a good pedigree there. I can imagine that we're probably a little bit short on centres at the minute, particularly when Eve Higgins goes back to sevens, which I can imagine she will and won't be available for the Six Nations. He's definitely might be having a look at Kate and going, there's a centre there who can score tries but also kick points for fun. And you know, it'll be interesting to see how she goes throughout the rest of the season.
With those wins building up for them though, as you mentioned earlier, there can be that bit of a marker on your back. How did you kind of deal with that as a player? Does it play into your mind even when you're going into a game thinking, oh God, we better not lose here?
I think it depends on the player and the way they approach games. Like for me, no matter what the game was or what had gone in the past, I'm trying to take that game as a separate entity. And, you know, nothing is a given sport. Anything can happen. Unfortunately, I learned that the hard way in the 2021 All-Ireland final against Meads, you know, and on any given day, anyone can win. And I think for you, it's all about your mindset going in, that it's just another game, regardless of the occasion. And teams are going to be coming for you, you know that. But if you perform to your ability, you should still be able to get a result regardless of that. But a lot of players, it can be nervous. Some people can kind of run away with themselves a little and be like, ah, we're far too good for these, you know, and all the rest. And that can cause a little bit of havoc and cause a little bit of disjointment. And sometimes you just don't perform. And unfortunately, BlackRock found that out the hard way too.
Fiona Hayes will be keeping them well under wraps.
I don't think they'll be getting too much confidence there with V Hayes. She's probably still telling them they're useless in a good way.
keeping the heads level. We'll move on then to Cook against Setonians. Setonians winning 44-0. Must have been frustrating for Cook because they did obviously have some good showcases. I know Emily Martin was probably a bright spark for them, but yeah, yet to get the score off the mark.
Yeah, look, we spoke about Cook and the difficult campaign they had last year, and we were hoping that this year they can turn it around, and unfortunately it just hasn't happened for them yet. Still struggling a little bit to kind of get any sort of phase play together, and a lot of the times their own mistakes or handling errors are real discipline that's costing them. That being said, look, Setonians are a good side. Stephen Costello, their former manager, put them in good stead last year, and you know, they've kept on with that. They've had a couple of girls returning from travelling and stuff like that. So Lauren Farrell McCabe, who was in with the Irish Sevens team for a while before she got injured and went off travelling, she's returned there too, and she's a bright spark for them in the kind of the halfbacks. You know, and they're just a well-drilled team who like to offload and score tries, and you know, they were comprehensive winners there. And you know, Cook will have in a home game like that wouldn't have been too happy to give up that scoreline and not even, you know, pack a punch themselves.
And Farrell McCabe, 2 tries in that game for her, but Aoife Brennan and Grainne Tumman both on the conversions. That must be a good option to have as well.
Yeah, look, as someone who used to kick yourself, it doesn't always go your way sometimes. And when you have 2 kickers, someone might have a longer range or, you know, better accuracy from the corners and stuff like that. But it is nice to have those options and to be able to switch it up. It takes the pressure off each kicker, you know, to have those options there. And Setonians are lucky to have 2 of them.
It's kind of funny though, touching back to what you were saying earlier, like Setonians lost out to Old Belvedere the Tuesday before that match at 31-5. Like, they're a level above Cook, it seems, but they just can't break into that next tier.
Yeah, and like, I think the same happened to Wicklow last year. Like, Wicklow were the team that were kind of just outside the top 4 last year and had some really good results, but just couldn't, they found themselves kind of in a middle tier almost, where you had the top tier, you had those who were kind of languishing around the bottom and really struggling to play, and then you had some teams in the middle that were playing some really good rugby but couldn't get results on the day. And Sutonians seem to have found themselves there, but there's plenty of games left. You know, they can pack a punch, they have players who know their way to the try line, they've ex-internationals like Mary Healy. I say ex, she's not currently in the squad, but you know, they're well able to play and get themselves in the right position. So it wouldn't surprise me if they surprise one of the top four teams at some point during the year.
Brilliant. Well, Old Belvedere reigning victorious over Galwegians on a scoreline of 33-19. Orla Dixon for Galwegians and Jess Keaton for Old Belvedere starting this one. What did you make of it overall?
Yeah, obviously my beloved Old Belvedere, obviously happy to see them get a result and get a good win there, you know, against a Galwegian side who have struggled of late. Obviously missing, as I mentioned before, their talisman really in Nicole Fowley, who was away with the Irish squad, being rewarded for that. I don't know, Dave Clark just seems like they can't really get anything going. They can't find the good form that they kind of had towards the end of last season. And as I mentioned, a lot of their good play comes through Nicole Fowley. Her big long range boot puts them in good positions and stuff like that. But they still have, like you said, Orla Dixon there. They're missing Clara Barrett as well, who is a young player, came through for them. She also got rewarded by being brought to Dubai. And I do think that it's hard to judge the first couple of weeks of the Energy at AIL when there are so many players missing on international duty. We will start to see the true form of a lot of these teams and where they're really at when all these players return. I'm sure they're having a little bit of a break now and they'll be back in the next couple of weeks, and obviously wanting to put in good performances for their club, but also to try and get picked for the next Six Nations campaign. So for Galwegians, I know they'll be disappointed. I think they just want to try and hang on through this difficult period, and when they get their players back, really start to kick on and get their campaign back on track. For Old Belvedere, you know, I've mentioned before, they have young Katie Corrigan, Emma Tilley flying. You know, they're missing a couple of players. Brittany Hogan obviously off with the Irish team as well. Dervin Nicavard injured. So there are opportunities there for players, but they still have so much experience with the likes of Leslie Ring and Gemma Farrell and co. to just keep pushing them through. And I think Old Belvedere will only continue to get better. They can really nurture those young players coming through, and they have that really good mix of experience and that young naivety, which can be good, you know, and that carefree attitude that some of these young players have can really push through Old Belvedere. And I'm fancying them to do quite well this year again.
Yeah, it's so funny when you're chatting there. Obviously, all the Irish internationals come back now. It's going to be a big shake-up when they do eventually come back. Like, literally anything could happen early.
Yeah, that's it. Like, look, you've had, what, 35 players are going to come back into... Well, I know a few of them go off to the English Premiership, but, you know, the guts of 20-plus players are being sent back out to their clubs now in the next couple of weeks. Some of them probably didn't get as much game time as they would have liked over in Ireland, so they'd be itching to get back going. And as I said, they're all going to be fighting for a place in the Six Nations squad. So they want to do well, and at the end of the day, everyone just wants to play rugby and have fun, and it's always nice to win. So it will, we'll get a much clearer picture of where squads are at when everyone is back, and kind of see where we go. It might take a couple of games to iron out some of the creases with them being gone.
It's going to be scary when they do come back, because the likes of Railway are winning, running riot nearly 46-10 over Ballincollig. They're a tough outing for Ballincollig. Again, it is just that difference in levels there nearly.
Yeah, look, like we spoke about Ballincollig as well, probably didn't have their best season last year either, and they're hoping to improve upon that. And they have had that. They've had a couple of good results, a little bit up and down this year, but coming up against Railway Union, you know, finalists of the last number of years, previous All-Ireland champions, and calibre players, and the quality they have, regardless of who they're missing, is still unbelievable. I think at one point a couple of years ago, Railway could have, between 7s and 15s, named a squad of 23 internationals and still leave some internationals out. And that's the calibre you're talking about. They're obviously missing a few that were off, and they will be back and fighting for places, but they still have ridiculously like talented players in their squad. And when you're captained by someone like Niamh Byrne, who's been a stalwart for them, and who just does everything, you know, she makes the tackle, she gets the turnover, she makes the breaks, she doesn't really get the credits and the plaudits a lot of the time, but she kind of is the glue that holds them all together. And you know, Railway are always a team that are in the mix, and when you're winning 46-10 and you're missing a handful of players, you're in a good spot.
Yeah, that's saying something. All right. Nicky Cahy, you're obviously starred for them. It's kind of a interesting era, I guess, for kickers in the game, because there was such instability even at Irish level for a few years there, and now we seem to have a few, more than a few good ones coming through.
Yeah, look, obviously I know Nicky a long time. When I came into the seven setup, she was there and we played together for a very long time, and then she obviously got capped by 15s as well, and she's had a great career. But the big thing about her is she's just an experienced head, and she's not fazed by anything. She loves playing rugby. She's some really good skills there. And when you play with a railway team who's scoring so many tries, regardless of who you have on the squad, you're getting loads of opportunities to practice your kicks, and she's slotting them over with ease there and enjoying herself. So it is great. Look, obviously having a kicker is so important. It can change the game. We saw that again with the Irish team last weekend. Anna O'Brien was named player of the match because she was pinging over penalties and conversions for Ireland when they really, really needed them. And so it is important. And there's a really good battle coming up for kickers, across the league. And as I mentioned, Scott McMahon will be having a close eye on a lot of these players. He's got, Nicole Fowley doing well, and she got reward for that. Dan O'Brien, it seems to be the number one choice at out half for Ireland at the minute. We talked about Kate Flannery before. Her brother's an out half too. So she's, I know she's not an out half by trade, but she could potentially slot in there. Enya Breen will be back from her ACL. Again, not an out and out 10, but can play there. And, Nicky Cahy will be hoping, she can do enough to get back into a squad as well. So it is an exciting time, because there were times, when we were really lacking a 10, and particularly with some good kickers. So hopefully that tide is turning a little bit, and particularly those younger girls can step up and make the grade.
Mm. And just to say as well, Ballincollig's Bridget Tuig made her debut there in that game, and she scored a try too. That must be a nice start, helped along of course by Roisin Norman, who's just a stalwart for them as always.
You took the words out of my mouth. Every time we play, Roisin Norman's managed to score a try, and I think she just, as someone who's been around a while and is one of obviously the more experienced players of their team, and it could be tough for a player like that, because when your team is not always very successful and you're coming out on the back of defeats a lot of the time, it can be hard to come back sometimes and keep the morale up. And she seems to do a great job there, and she always seems to be dragging her team across the line. To score in your debut is great for Ballincollig to have young players coming through. I think that's what they need. They need to start developing players and seeing them come out to senior status and see where that takes them. But it can only help them.
Well, we'll be looking ahead to the games coming up after this. We are going to take a quick break and you'll see your energy at AIL captains take on the this or that challenge.
Home or away?
Home. Home.
Home.
Yeah, home.
You're a big tackle.
Try. Big tackle.
Try.
Oh, big tackle.
Black boots or colour boots?
Black boots. Colour boots. I like something bright so my tan looks good.
Coloured boots.
Coloured. I call them my fast boots. They're purple. Loud colour.
Kick or pass?
Kick.
Pass. Definitely not kick, so pass.
Against someone who's not really good at either, I might go for kick.
Power or speed?
Speed. Power.
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 Watch the game in the pub or watch it in the stadium?
Stadium.
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 In the pub. Much more fun.
Scrum or line out?
Line out.
Line out, but I'm in neither.
Line out. Line out.
Chit chat or headphones on the bus?
Chit chat.
Chit chat.
Bit of both.
Bit of chit chat, definitely.
Winter Under Armour or Brave the Bare Arms?
Brave the Bare Arms.
Skins all day.
Bare Arms.
Yeah, Brave the Bare Arms, yeah. Maybe that's a forwards thing.
You're one for the skins all there.
Yeah, all day, particularly when you're playing on the 4G or the Astro. No, I'm usually on the wing there, so I end up cold. So absolutely need to have the layers.
For sure. Well, we hope you enjoyed that video. You are, of course, watching the Energia AIL Rugby Show brought to you by Energia. Here's what the table looks like heading into the next round of games. So as we said, UL Bows at the top there unbeaten, and then you can go all the way down. The interesting thing is as well, obviously Railway Union, Old Belvedere and Black Rock have a game in hand. So there is plenty of shake up to come yet, Hannah.
Yeah, but looking at it, like UL Bows, 5 wins from 5, bonus points with them as well. So it's a tough one. It's a long season. Still plenty of games left, but UL Bows are sitting pretty at the top there. They'd be fairly happy with that, but I know they wouldn't be content and that they know that the rest are coming for them. But it's exciting to see. You want to see that different team at the top.
Touching on that there, it is obviously a long season. When do you kind of start to get a good grips of things of where is it going to finish up? Because you know the way in some leagues it's, oh, if you're top by Christmas, you're in with a good shout.
I think it depends on how other teams perform. If only one team is performing and they're well out in front, you can usually tell, look, they're miles out ahead, you're not going to catch them. As you can see, it's still quite tight at the top there. And as well, because we've had so many internationals away, there's so much change to come. You know, this can be a tale of two halves of the season. So I'd say about 3 or 4 weeks into when all the internationals come back and teams are back to full strength, that will give us a really clear indication of where teams really are at and where they stand. I can see that table changing slightly.
Just give it a little shuffle. Well, we have a look at the games for this weekend then. We've Ballincollig taking on UL Bowes, Old Belvedere versus Cook, Setonians versus Blackrock, and then Railway Union heading to Wicklow to play them there. Which of those stands out to you, do you think?
Setonians, Blackrock there, purely for Blackrock coming off a difficult loss that they probably wouldn't have been expecting too much, and Setonians coming off a really, really good win. And so Setonians being at home, I think they'll see this as a huge opportunity to try and, you know, not only keep that losing streak going for Blackrock, but to extend their own winning streak. And it could be a really close game. Setonians could pip it.
Oh, interesting call there. Just in preparation for this as well, I was looking up and they have that as a triple header with their two men's teams playing beforehand, and then Setonians women's at 5 o'clock. What do you think of that? Like, do you think that's a way forward to kind of integrate all of them? You'd be watching rugby for the day.
Well, look, sure, why not? I think it's a really good opportunity. You know, a lot of the other teams tend to get huge crowds out there. The last time I played against Setonians and they were at home, they had a great crowd out for us in what was horrendous conditions. So I think it's a really good opportunity for people to see live rugby. And if they were hanging around for the men's game anyway, they might just stay on and see the quality that's on show. Because I think a lot of time, people probably dismiss the women's game without actually giving it a chance. And then they watch a game and realise that there are some really, really good players on show and that the quality of rugby can be quite good. So it's a really good move. And I think then what's great is everyone will be in the club afterwards talking about it and mingling. And I think it's great to have a club that's really integrated between their men and women's, and they all know each other, and then they can support each other on the big days.
Well, hopefully we'll have one to break down there. We'll not see you again now until November 29th to break down the energy at AIL once again. So who knows where we'll be by then.
Yeah, look, as I said, lots of rugby to be played between then. Probably a couple of surprises. I'm sure the internationals will be back by then. So we might see some interesting results. But yeah, just hopefully we have some cracking games and a lot to talk about.
Perfect. Well, thanks for joining us for today, Hannah.
No worries. Thanks for having me.
Good stuff. So if you've enjoyed this, be sure to like, subscribe and comment and share. We're close to hitting 7,000 subscribers on YouTube, so be sure and drop your subscription now. And yeah, we'll see you in the next episode.